Hi, and welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff of Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest updates in dermatology, to exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse of what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Morgan Petronelli.
Today we're discussing the rise in influence that TikTok has recently had over the beauty and skincare industry. From creating popular trends that may or may not be great for the skin, to causing skincare brands to explode, or in other cases, implode. One thing is for sure, this social media platform is definitely setting the tone for the future of the dermatology industry. Let's dive right in. Today I have joining me Dr. Angelo Landresina, board-certified dermatologist at Mount Sinai Doctors Brooklyn Heights, located in Brooklyn, New York, and popular TikToker focused on skincare content, otherwise known as Derm Angelo. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Landresina, for joining me today. Today we're discussing, you know, how TikTok has influenced the skincare and dermatology industry and how much it really has just pretty much taken over everything and its influence on that industry. What is TikTok's influence on you as a dermatologist and vice versa? You know, what is dermatology's influence on you on TikTok?
So it's really interesting because I think that my journey with social media started way before TikTok was even a thing or even became popular. I sort of launched my social media initiative back in January of 2019, just because I wanted to write a blog about skincare and common skin concerns. It was kind of inspired by the fact that many of my patients were coming to me asking about, you know, consumer products or things that they read on the internet. And when I was a medical student, I initially would always tell patients, hey, don't like Google what you have. You're just going to get on WebMD and everything's going to be like incorrect. However, what I noticed was that a lot of patients were coming to me with really accurate information sometimes, and in some cases, even knowing what the correct diagnosis that they had was before they even came to see me, or asking about, you know, certain treatments that I didn't think that the common person would know about. So, you know, I started to take a deep dive on the internet and see what was out there. Unfortunately, a lot of the information was still inaccurate. So I said, us dermatologists have so much knowledge to share. And the fact that this idea of skincare being separate from dermatology, being something that everybody does, but not a medical thing, sitting somewhere between personal health and beauty. And the fact that a lot of the content around it was based around, you know, ads or selling consumer products. I said, I wanted to enter into this arena and be the voice of reason. Fast forward to now, many other dermatologists have decided to take part as well, which I think is a great thing. You know, the more of us, the better. Earlier this year, TikTok really started to take off. I am pretty sure that I was one of the first few dermatologists on there starting to talk about common conditions like acne and things like that. And I think that, you know, the way that it's sort of shaped my approach to social media and maybe the way that I think about dermatology is really wrapped up in the way that it's allowed me to like get into the psyche of Gen Z. The audience there is much younger, so their concerns are a little bit different than, you know, my audience that I have on Instagram or the readers of my blog. Since it skews younger, a lot of the talk there is around acne. Starting out using sun protection every day, like using sunscreen on a daily basis for the first time for young people who might have acne. And some of it is around, you know, preventing the first signs of aging. So most of the audience there are not, you know, necessarily our cosmetic patients who are coming in for like full face laser resurfacing. They're, you know, people who are just starting to think about how to prevent their first wrinkles. I think it's been a great exploration of like what our next generation of patients is thinking about for me. And I think the other thing that it has forced me to do is to get more familiar with consumer products. Whether it's for better or worse, so much of the discourse on TikTok is wrapped up in what products to buy to fix your problem. And it initially troubled me in a way. Firstly, because it allowed me to see the way in which capitalism kind of like skews the discourse, even around something as scientific as taking care of your skin. But, you know, as I got further into it, I thought to myself, you know, since us dermatologists are supposed to be the authorities on everything skin, we should be familiar with consumer products, not necessarily all of them because it's impossible, but you know, being able to see what the trends are, to know what our patients are doing after they leave the office, which has always been a fascination of mine, and to be able to make more wide-ranging recommendations when it comes to the supporting players in the treatment plan. You know, we may be prescribing medications, topicals, orals, but being able to give our patients a kind of holistic sort of treatment plan from A to Z.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And on to that, on to my next question, you know, what I found really fascinating was the rise and fall of like skincare brands, like you were talking earlier, due to TikTok, like for one instance, St. Ives, Walnut and Apricot Scrub. Oh my gosh, people are mass canceling it. Like people are buying it to throw it away. And then on like vice versa, you have The Ordinary, which like that blew up completely. The AHA and BHA, you know, peeling solution, that blew up. They're saying like the vampire facial or the blood facial. It's just crazy how its effect on certain brands, like how it just shot some up and then completely like nosedived others. My question is, you know, what is your opinion on that?
So, I mean, I think that this is really the new way of advertising. You know, back in the day for skincare companies, it may have just been taking out ads in magazines or running ads on television, but this is the way that we're consuming media now, for better or for worse. And this new type of media is created by people in their homes. And along with the rise of TikTok and other social media platforms has this, you know, rise of these influencers, especially skincare influencers, whose level of, you know, familiarity and training when it comes to skincare varies quite a bit, and also whose opinions mean a lot to their audiences. Like these are the new celebrities. So, you know, if they talk about CeraVe, their audiences will go out and buy it. And if you look at that brand in particular, they have carried out what I think is a very shrewd social media plan that has totally reinvigorated their sales and their company because they've embraced this new model. And I think more brands are getting on the bandwagon with that. They know that they have to get people talking on social media in order to sell products to this younger generation, and that there really is a real audience for this type of content and that their buying habits will reflect what they're consuming online.
My next question is, you know, what are some current good and bad skincare trends that you're currently seeing on the platform? Like for instance, like I saw earlier lemons on the face, which was like crazy to me. And then what was the other? Oh, like floss, taking floss and getting like the sebum out of your nose. So is there anything like good or bad that you've seen lately on the platform?
You know, it's so funny because I feel like everything old is new again. I saw a video the other day of I guess a barber or some sort of, you know, male grooming person doing a treatment on his client's face that he just like put toothpaste all over it, like just toothpaste all over his face. And it took me back to, you know, my teenage years when I had really bad acne and people were telling me, oh, put toothpaste on your pimples. Obviously that never worked for anyone, but yeah, there are certain things like DIY skincare that are really big. I see a lot of influencers that have nothing to do with skincare talking about like, oh, make a mask out of turmeric, or one thing that happened. There are so many of these trends. This feels like a million years ago, but it was definitely the beginning of 2020, where people were putting, I believe it was just straight up cinnamon, like ground cinnamon on their nose to get rid of their blackheads and they were ending up with irritant dermatitis. I would say that there are a lot of ill-advised trends on there. Things like, putting food onto your skin, which I quite often say on my platform, nobody's skin was ever magically fixed by putting lemon on it. That has never happened. So sorry, it's not that easy. If it were, we'd all have beautiful skin and no acne or other skin problems. However, like not all of the bad trends, I think, are necessarily things like that. Sometimes it's just product overuse. I feel like a lot of the audience on social media has become wrapped up in kind of like optimizing every single outcome that they can have. I almost feel like it's sort of a symptom of the time that we're living in, you know, at a time when we have no control over anything. Like, you know, we may not have control over our employment, over our personal health. We can't, you know, in good faith, just leave our houses and do whatever we want. Our skincare is one of those things where we feel like maybe we have more control and we can optimize it. So I've had, you know, plenty of followers comment on my posts saying, hey, can I use salicylic acid and glycolic acid and vitamin C and niacinamide and retinol in the same routine at the same time? And, you know, my answer to these people is quite often, why would you want to do that? I think, you know, in this trend of people wanting to have this beautiful, poreless glass skin, in fact, they're having worse outcomes because they're just like irritating themselves. On the flip side of that, one of the things that I'll say is actually a really good trend, and two in particular that really stick out to me. First is just like being more intentional in the products that you're using. So, you know, for the longest time, every dermatologist will be familiar with this. You ask a patient, oh, what are you using on your skin right now? And they can't name a single thing. It used to frustrate me, but what I ended up learning was just that people are not intentional in what they're doing a lot of the time, and they're just using what's around, you know. What body moisturizer do you use? Oh, it's like, you know, whatever is in my bathroom that my spouse bought for me or something like that. But I think it's a very good trend to know why you're using what you're using and choosing products, keeping in mind, you know, what the outcome might be for your own skin. And then the other trend that I think is really important is a trend towards daily sun protection. I've often said that, you know, on the whole, having these skincare influencers out there that are not dermatologists, in some cases it's great, in some cases there's pitfalls, but overall, if they get people doing something as simple as wearing sunscreen every day, I am so happy that they are there, because the public health impact of the work that they're doing could be potentially great, and I'm interested to see over the coming decades, you know, what happens to rates of skin cancer as a result of this information getting out there.
So my next question was, you know, what is your process for coming up and creating TikToks that are dermatology related?
My process. It's funny because in a lot of ways, I feel like I don't have a process. Like I'm also a consumer of social media. And I think that that is one of the most important things for somebody who wants to start out, especially with TikTok, because when I first downloaded it, I was like, oh, like it's a bunch of people like dancing to the same song over and over again. Like I don't get it. And I think especially with that platform, these algorithms learn what you like and what you're interested in, and it will show you content based on that, but you actually need to put in the time to watch it, which is weird. And I know a lot of people don't have the time to do that, but once you actually get into your niche, you're going to see what people are talking about. You're going to see what trends are out there. I think that's usually the jumping off point for me. And now that I'm more established, reading the comments on my videos and seeing what people are curious about, what they're talking about. Quite often, you know, I think I have like 215,000 followers on there. they will often tag me in videos if they want me to comment on them. So I did a reaction video yesterday to, somebody using this product that is essentially tape that you put on your forehead overnight and that claims to decrease hyperdynamic wrinkles. And I kind of myth debunked that. Another thing that you could do is to look at trends that are going on the platform and kind of make them your own. So one trend that was going on this November was one called No Nuance November, which was originally for political hot takes. So the idea was just to state your opinion and to give no explanation about certain things. So I started doing them about skincare. I did a series of videos and altogether they've been viewed about 4 million times. So, I think the key is to see what people are talking about, see what people are curious about, maybe jump on some of the trends and also to like try a bunch of stuff and see what sticks. I think especially when talking about TikTok versus other social media platforms, it may reward you for just doing more stuff and for trying different things. So that's always been my approach.
And more on to that, what is some advice for your fellow derms looking to join TikTok?
I would say, obviously it takes time to grow on there. So in addition to, some of the advice that I already gave, like you may feel like you're doing it for no reason at the beginning and one day it may just blow up for no reason. And that's great. I think the other thing is also to use it as an outlet to be creative. I think that so many times in our job, we are not encouraged to be creative. You're so wrapped up in only being evidence-based and doing the right thing and, being that perfect doctor that sometimes the job flattens us a little bit. And I feel like one of the most rewarding things about being on this platform is that it has allowed, my creativity to come back and be revived. So definitely do that. I also think one of the downsides of being on there is like quite often there are hate comments or people who will show up in your comments and tell you that you're wrong, even though they're, somebody hiding behind an avatar. And obviously we have years and years of training. And I think that it's important not to take any of that personally and to remember your role. Do not lash out. Also resist the urge to answer every single comment because a lot of people are looking for individualized advice or medical advice. And, that is not a good medico-legal decision to make to answer all of those comments. So keep that in mind.
Absolutely. I think that's some great advice. Well, thank you so much for joining me today and you have a great day.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles and videos to podcasts, you can visit www.dermatologytimes.com.